Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. This is God's word. In the 18th year of Israel's king Jeroboam, son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah, and he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, daughter of Abishalom. Abijam walked in all the sins his father before him had committed, and he was not wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord his God as his ancestor David had been. But for the sake of David, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by raising up his son after him and preserving Jerusalem. For David did what was right in the Lord's sight, and he did not turn aside from anything he had commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. There had been war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of Rehoboam's life. The rest of the events of Abijam's reign, along with his accomplishments, are written in the historical records of Judah's kings. There was also war between Abijam and Jeroboam. Abijam rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. His son Asa became king in his place. In the 20th year of Israel's king Jeroboam, Asa became king of Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maacah, daughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the Lord's sight, as his ancestor David had done. He banished the male cult prostitutes from the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. He also removed his grandmother, Maacah, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. Asa chopped down her obscene image and burned it in the Kidron Valley. The high places were not taken away, but Asa was wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord his entire life. He brought his father's consecrated gifts and his own consecrated gifts into the Lord's temple, silver, gold, and utensils. There was war between Asa and King Baasha of Israel throughout their reigns. Israel's King Baasha went to war against Judah. He built Ramah in order to keep anyone from leaving or coming to King Asa of Judah. So Asa withdrew all the silver and gold that remained in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the treasuries of the royal palace and gave it to his servants. Then King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, son of Tabrimmon, son of Hezion, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There is a treaty between me and you, between my father and your father. Look, I've sent you a gift of silver and gold. Go and break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel so that he will withdraw from me." Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. He attacked Ajon, Dan, Abel-Meth-Makkah, all Chinnereth, and the whole land of Naphtali. When Baasha heard about it, he quit building Ramah and stayed in Tirzah. Then King Asa gave a command to everyone without exception in Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timbers Baasha had built it with. Then King Asa built Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah with them. The rest of all the events of Asa's reign, along with all his might, all his accomplishments, and the cities he built are written in the historical records of Judah's kings. But in his old age, he developed a disease in his feet. Then Asa rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of his ancestor David. His son Jehoshaphat became king in his place. Nadab, son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel in the second year of Judah's king Asa. He reigned over Israel 2 years. Nadab did what was evil in the Lord's sight and walked in the ways of his father and the sin he had caused Israel to commit. Then Baasha, son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against Nadab, and Baasha struck him down at Gibbethon of the Philistines while Nadab and all Israel were besieging Gibbethon. In the third year of Judah's king Asa, Baasha killed Nadab and reigned in his place. When Baasha became king, he struck down the entire house of Jeroboam. He did not leave Jeroboam any survivors, but destroyed his family according to the word of the Lord he had spoken through his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. This was because Jeroboam had angered the Lord God of Israel by the sins he had committed and had caused Israel to commit. The rest of the events of Nadab's reign, along with all his accomplishments, are written in the historical record of Israel's kings. There was war between Asa and King Baasha of Israel throughout their reigns. In the third year of Judah's king Asa, Baasha, son of Ahijah, became king over all Israel, and he reigned in Tirzah 24 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight and walked in the ways of Jeroboam and the sin he had caused Israel to commit. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Several observations. One that I keep making time after time. All these people who became king despite all their power and wealth ended up having one thing in common. What is it? They all died. Exactly. I keep saying it time after time after time, but that's because I really want you to get it. I want you to understand that it is folly to live as if you're never going to die. Second thing I want you to see is that we're looking at a parallel of two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, the bulk of the tribes, and little old Judah. And the northern kingdom's kings, it's very hard to find anybody to say good things about. And yet, despite the fact that they are so wicked, and despite the fact that God says he's going to judge them, and despite the fact that in the account we just read, God's judgment did come, and Jeroboam's whole household was destroyed, just as God had warned would happen, it took a long time. You could have looked at what was going on and thought, well, maybe not. Maybe God's not going to do what he said. Maybe judgment isn't coming. Maybe it's going to be okay. Because while the southern kingdom, they really weren't good guys either, but the less bad guys were having turnover in kings. This guy at the start of chapter 15 reigned 3 years. That's not a long time. We elect presidents for longer than that. Okay? This guy didn't even get a 4-year term. And while he becomes king, and when he dies and someone else takes his place, Jeroboam's kingdom continues to go on. Okay, his descendants are still on the throne. And looks like maybe they're just going to keep on going. Sometimes, as a judgment, God lets people seem to get away with things for a long time. Romans chapter 1 describes the wrath of God this way, and so God gave them over to do these things. In other words, you may think the fact that you are seemingly getting away with something is an indication that God doesn't mind, when in fact, it's judgment. Because as you continue to do what you know you ought not to do, you are building up wrath. Don't think that just because judgment hasn't been manifested, judgment isn't coming. Please learn that lesson. Just as surely as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, just as surely as that, God also promises, vengeance is mine, I will repay. God also promises, don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. In this chapter, we see the wicked northern kingdom doing horrible things and seemingly being more stable than the southern kingdom. But the fact that it looked like they were getting away with it didn't mean they were going to get away with it. They didn't get away with it. What God had said would happen, happened. Judgment came. Jeroboam's line was wiped out. Next point. In this passage, we see that coming from a good family does not mean you will do well, even though you may experience blessing and grace for the sake of the good people you come from. This fellow who only reigned 3 years walked in all the sins, verse 3, walked in all the sins his father before him had committed. His father before him had committed sins that were just a worsening of what his father had committed. But the great-grandfather was David. And David, who was not perfect, his overall record, his overall trajectory in life was doing the will of God. He wholeheartedly sought the Lord, sought to do what was right. He wasn't perfect. Jesus is perfect. The rest of us need a Savior, including David. But apart from the sins regarding Uriah, where he committed adultery with Uriah's wife and then had Uriah killed, that's horrible. But let me tell you, he was a prince compared to his descendants. None of these folks deserves to go to heaven based on the way they behave. The only way any of us can get into heaven is on the basis of what Jesus did for us at the cross. But some of these folks did a lot worse than others. And so David had so pleased the Lord that God put up with a ton from David's son Solomon and put up with a ton from Rehoboam, Solomon's son. And now Abijam does all kinds of wicked things, and the grace of God, even though he only reigns 3 years, the grace of God is displayed in the fact that he reigned 3 years and didn't lose the kingdom. And when he died, God let his son come to the throne. Now, his son had a bad dad and a bad granddad and not so great a great grandfather. But he decided he was going to be like his great great grandfather, David. He was going to do what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. And so what did he do? Asa did what was right, verse 11, in the Lord's sight, as his ancestor David had done. He banished the male cult prostitutes from the land, removed all of the idols that his father had made. He also removed his grandmother, Micah, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. Can old people do bad stuff? You better believe it. She had made an obscene image of Asherah. Asa chopped down her obscene image and burned it in the Kidron Valley. I bet she didn't like that. And he said, well, it doesn't matter because you've just lost your position in the kingdom. The high places were not taken away, but Asa was wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord his entire life. He brought his father's consecrated gifts and his own consecrated gifts into the Lord's temple, silver, gold, and utensils. Now here's what I want you to see. You may not have had the greatest parents. You may not have had the greatest grandparents. You may not have had the greatest great-grandparents. But you can be great. You can do the right thing by God's grace if you call on him and say, Lord, I want you not only to forgive my sins, but I want you to live your life through me. I want you to cause my life to be pleasing to you. I want to do what you say in your word. Now, in order to do that, you may have to get rid of somebody who's near and dear to you, like grandma. What did he do? He put her in a home? No, he stripped her of her office. He destroyed the sinful thing that she had made. And he destroyed it. He made a decision that even though that's my grandma, I'm not going to let her get away with this. I think about young people I've known who have blown the whistle on their abuse. I think about kids who grew up being taught to lie, being taught to engage in behavior that is sinful, and taught that it was okay, it's normal, it's don't worry about it. It's just what we do. And guess what? They said, no, it's not what I do. Because it's not what God says. And they had the courage to start a different kind of life. You cannot have any say in who your parents are. You can and do have a say in what kind of parent you're going to be. Please understand that. Because you can come from a good family and be a bad person. But you can come from a bad family and be a person whose life is honoring to the Lord. And that's what God wants for you. That's what God invites you to. And God promises you the power to do the right thing if you want to do the right thing. Asa did the right thing. It didn't mean that his life was free from problems, and it didn't mean that he was perfect, and it didn't mean that everything went well. If you read the report in Chronicles, there's a lot more detail about his life. But please understand that God can take the life of a person who comes from difficult situations and make something beautiful of it. My wife spends a lot of time researching ancestry, not only hers, but other people's. And it has been a great joy for her to find out that in her own family line, there are some wonderful Christians. Not every generation, but you go back a ways and it's like, wow, that was a person who really loved the Lord and was devoted to doing God's will. I'll brag on my wife's ancestor, Titus Lane, who was the first pastor in Tennessee. Okay? My wife not only has read of his accomplishments, but she has got a copy of his account of his own conversion, how he came to faith in Christ. He went to mock a preacher and got saved. And it wasn't because of what the man said. It was because of the power of the Holy Spirit who put him under conviction and brought him to his knees. And his life was transformed, and he devoted the rest of his days to serving Christ. Isn't that cool? But my wife's parents didn't even know about Titus Lane. The grandparents didn't know about Titus Lane. Because in between, in those generations, there had been people who loved alcohol more than they loved God. And so, when you grow up in that kind of family, sometimes you never learn about your grandparents or your great-grandparents. Let me tell you something. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you've been through. It won't prevent you from becoming a great mom, a great dad, a great follower of Jesus if you decide you want to follow Jesus. If you decide that you want to live for Him and live a life that is pleasing to Him and honoring to Him, God will give you the power to do it. But if you're determined not to upset Grandma because you don't want to seem too different from the family, you don't want them to say, you're not like us, it won't work. My brother, who's now retired, when he was pastoring in Knoxville, he tells this story on himself, so it's okay for me to tell it. He was invited to a luncheon at Calhoun's on the River in downtown Knoxville. And so he went with his navy blazer, nice shirt, khaki pants. Always looked good. He always looked good. But the problem is he was invited by a friend to go to Calhoun's on the River on a boat. It'd be a nice way to get there. Instead of driving up and parking, you boat up and then go in. Pretty cool. So he got there, okay. I mean, he was being driven. It was a nice, large boat. But when he went to get off, he didn't commit fully. He got one foot onto the dock, and one foot he left on the boat. How'd that work out, do you suppose? He had to go into Calhoun's dripping wet after being pulled out of the river. Because, folks, you can't be half in, half out. Partly on board, partly on land. Just doesn't work. Eventually, the gap between this and this becomes greater than you can span. And you have to make a decision. And it was very embarrassing for him to have to walk in dripping wet. And unfortunately, no one caught it on video. But I want you to consider if you're in danger of the same thing. Trying to bridge that gap. Because you don't want to face rejection. You don't want to have to choose. You want to be able to be okay with these folks and okay with Jesus. I'm not telling you you have to be hateful. I'm telling you you have to be decisive. Are you going to live for Jesus? If you're going to live for Jesus, you need to do it everywhere. And if you do it, Jesus said there are going to be a lot of people who are going to hate you for it. And if when you obey the Lord, people get upset with you, just remember, God is happier with you than they are angry with you. You focus on what He thinks and what He says. So, in this chapter, we see that people coming from good families can live badly. People coming from bad families can live well. And all of us, regardless of how we live, are going to have to give an account to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web
at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.